there, man. But we need a circumference. We need something that will keep us from getting in trouble. By the way, that's why we have the top ten, or the Ten Commandments. Those are, if you keep the Ten Commandments, you're going to stay out of a lot of trouble, amen. And God said, these are the main things I want you to really be careful of. And I'm going to put them right out front for you. So our life must have proper boundaries. As it centers around the Lord Jesus Christ, our circumference is the law, the limits set by God Himself. God set limits for us. God says man should not look at another man's wife. He should not take another man's wife. I was reading, I think it was yesterday, Proverbs 5 or 6, and I was talking about how a man takes another man's wife into his bosom, and he won't be burned. I'll be honest with you, folks. I've been a pastor almost 48 years, and I'll tell you what, that's one thing you never get away with. You'll never get away with it. It'll be found out. You can't get away with that. And some of you simple people that don't get it yet, you're going to get caught. That's one thing. You're going to get caught. If you take another man's wife, you'll get caught. Yes, you will. And you want to be very careful. You want to be careful how your deportment around those people. And so God gives us circumferences. God gives us laws to limit things like that. Oh, my goodness. All the troubles and heartaches come up when there's immorality in a home. The heartaches and sorrows. In fact, the Bible says you can't pay the guy enough. You can't give him enough gifts to get over that. He won't get over it. He'll never get over it. Never get over it. And so... you lose your honor, and on and on. And so the Bible says it's important that we would be very careful with that. Some things are out of bounds, and these are some places we should not go, and some books that we should not read, and videos that we should not see, and they're just... boy, there's stuff out there that'll just draw you in. And there's a reason for that. Satan trying to blind your eyes. Satan trying to blind you how good you got it. Oh, if you could just have that. No, that doesn't happen. We must draw the line where God draws the line. This is where we're going to be. Ladies, please dress up. Cover yourself up. All you're doing is, I don't know a man that does not, if he sees flesh, he's going to look. God made us that way. God made us that way. So be very careful about that. We'll find happiness only inside the circumference of God's Word. Outside, you will find guilt. You'll find fear. You'll find sorrow. And when death is finished, what is it? I mean, when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Blessed everyone that walketh in his way, the Bible said. Happy, happy is everybody that walks in his ways. It's pretty neat to know that your life is very careful about her deportment around other people. It's very important. That really means a lot to the husband. That really is tremendous to that husband that he knows. A lady told me, she says, you know, preacher, I lack self-esteem. And she said, I saw somebody patting my husband on the rear end. And she said, I walked up that person and says, you know, I don't have much self-esteem. And I don't like that. And the lady laughed at her and said, so? And she quit a church because of that. That's pretty sad. That's pretty sad. You see, life is not about us. Life is about Him. It's not our way. It's not the ways of the particular crowd, not the ways that are permitted by the godless, the humanist, the sinful society, but it's the way God spells it all to us and says, hey, stay in the fence. If you stay in the fence, you'll be what? Happy, happy. You'll be happy, happy. Stay in a fence. Be happy, happy. That's the secret of the Lord's blessing, a proper center and a proper circumference of life. The Lord promises four things to those who get in the center of the circumference, and he will take care of. First of all, he says, I promise to take care of your finances. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, 28:2. In other words, to borrow the expression of the language of the Old Testament prophet Haggai, we will not put our money in a bag with holes. Haggai 1:6. God will take care of our income and our expenditures. He will safeguard our giving and our saving. He will see that we plow and plant and that we will reap a harvest. It will not go to the locusts. It will not vegetate into nature. It will not be spoiled by an invader. A bad year will be followed by a good year, Bible says. He will see to it that we are not left destitute. You remember David say, one of my favorite Psalms, Psalms 37:25, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. The Lord may not give us all we want. He will certainly see that we have all we need. Paul puts it this way, my God shall supply all your needs according to the riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Oh, many times. I don't get it how God just some way, somehow brings in something to take care of something. The most incredible thing. That is not to say that he will never try us. But God guarantees that if we get into the center and the circumference is right, He will take care of everything in between. For thou shalt eat of the labors of thine hand. That's God's promise. And if you're not in that area, there's a couple things you ought to do. Number one, dear God, do I love your Word of God? Number two, God, am I following your Word of God? Am I doing your Word of God? You know, last week I preached on the guy that he heard the Word, but he didn't do it. And he was God called him a foolish man. He's like a man that built a house upon the sand. And when the storm came and the flood came, it quickly vanished. There's a lot of people that, you know, they say they know it, but they don't do what they, quote unquote, they know. The guarantee, of course, does not underwrite laziness. I know some guys in my church are working two jobs. I commend you guys. Been there, done that for many years. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with working hard. Nothing wrong with... I remember my wife was bound determined that she wanted a Davenport. And a Davenport that would open up into a bed, yeah. And so she found one. Now remember, I'm working a couple jobs, right? And she said, honey, we need this. And we really did, because we didn't have a Davenport in our home. We just had a couple of chairs, and it was pretty meager. And so I went to my boss, and I said, hey, my wife wants... He said, Reverend, I told you, anytime you want to come to work, just punch in. I'll take you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I said, wait a minute. I'm not going to go buy a new house. I just want the Davenport, amen. And we had a pretty good laugh about that. But I worked hard. Finally paid for it. Then coming home, had it in my old pickup, and lost one of them hands, what do they call it, the covers for the hands, you know. And, oh, my wife, she's, oh, and fortunately, the guy had stuffed it down inside the deal. I don't know why you remember stuff like that, but boy, that saved my bacon, amen. Secondly, our feelings. Look at what he says, happy shalt thou be. There'll be no guilt, no guile. bring consequences of unhappiness into our lives. Happiness is the most elusive commodity on earth. You can be happy one day, one moment, and crying the next. How many have ever felt that way? You know, like a yo-yo. Amen. Happy shalt thou be, the Bible says, our feelings. It is a plant that blooms best in paradise. Our earth is an exotic transplant, and ever since the fall, blooms only where the soil of the soul is right. None of the pleasure providers of this world can issue an unconditional warranty that their particular recipe will please. God can. God does. You stick by this book. You stay faithful to your prayer life. You stay faithful to your church, and I'll guarantee you'll be the happiest person. You stay faithful to that wife of yours. You stay faithful to that husband of yours. You stay faithful to your daddy and mama. I'll promise you, you'll never have so much fun in your life. I hear a lot lately. Oh, Pastor, what do you do with teenagers? Oh, I'll be honest with you. When my boys were teenagers, I never had so much fun in my life. They were old enough. I could talk to them. I could reason with them. They could reason with me. And we were in the field quite a bit, whether it be fishing, hunting, or whatever. Spent a lot of time with them boys. A lot of time. But it was fun. Fun to be with them. I gave them enough rope to hang themselves, you know. And just wanted to make sure I had that rope that was tethered, amen. And every once in a while, I have to jerk that chain and let them know that, hey, that's not acceptable. And since I gave you that name, I want that name to be clean. I want it to be pure. I don't want you to be goofing off. The Bible says, get the center of the circumstances right, and I will unconditionally guarantee you happiness. I read an illustration about a camera. I don't know how many of you know how to use a camera. I mean, really a high-dollar camera. Maybe this illustration won't be much for you, but when I was in high school, I met the head sports writer of the Middle Day News, and somehow I told him I like to take pictures. All I had was a Kodak, you know, one of the ones you look down in it and you little jobbies, you know, and crank, and of course sometimes you'd forget and you'd just take twice pictures over the same stuff, you know. And he said, "Hey, Sheer," he says, "you're not playing basketball, are you?" I said, "No." He says, "Hey, I'm gonna give you a Canon camera and a strobe, and I'll give you a couple rolls of film, and you go down to when you're high school playing, you just walk in and you take pictures of the basketball game." And he showed me a little bit. He said, "Now," he said, "you're gonna look into that viewfinder, and in that viewfinder, you're gonna see two little hazy things. And if you just move it just right, it'll clear up, and that's when you're focused." He didn't explain all that stuff to me. I didn't understand how it works, but those are prisms in there, and when they're just right, you take the picture. And of course, he says, "Now remember, in that red spot in there," he said, "that's the center. That's where you want to get the center." I had, I don't know, three, four of my photographs in the Midland Daily News and Sports section. It's cool, you know. The dirty bugger, he never put my name in there. But anyway, he said it was taken by him. I said, "You're a liar, man." But he gave me $20 every time I got a picture in there. Amen. $80, 1966. That's some good bucks. Amen. And so had a great time with it. But the idea is getting it in focus. You know, sometimes we Christians are out of focus. We're not, like if I was going to take a picture of this beautiful young couple here, and I would make sure that focus is just that prism, they're clear, and there's no wiggly lines in it. Now, if I go from here and bring it out there to that other beautiful couple that just going to have their anniversary, they'd be fuzzy. So I'd have to redirect that. And a lot of times in our Christian life, there's things that happen to us in our lives that we need to redirect that focus on there. And not only that, we need to put it in the center. We want to make sure that it's right where we're shooting. When we hunt, a lot of us, when we're hunting out there, we'll be looking, and you're seeing this panoramic, but a lot of guys will go like this. And then you can see, you're not distracted by all the other junk around. And you can see maybe an animal that are laying in there like that. Thank God we have those big 10x50 binoculars now, man. You can really see it, amen. You can see the flea on their nose, amen. But in our Christian life, we have to be careful. We make sure we get in focus, because sometimes things get out of focus. And some things we think we hear, or some things we think somebody said, or something maybe the pastor said. You didn't take it in the right focus. And it's blurry. And you don't understand. That's why you write a note. That's why you say, hey, preacher, can I sit down? Can I have coffee with you? I got some questions I want to ask you about the Bible. I want to ask you about something. Hey, preacher, I'm having some difficult times with my kids. Hey, preacher, I'm having some difficult times in our marriage. Do you think you could help me out? Can you? I said, boy, sure, I'd love to. And we'll put it in focus and say, now, you know what? That really doesn't mean any different. Over here, this really is not. Here's the problem right here. Susie, you. The problem is usually your focus is not her and it's you. And you get that focus back in. And boy, how beautiful it is. The lens is the focus when the top and the bottom halves come together. And when the shimmering effect is cleared up. The point is that I have to concentrate on the center. And the center is Jesus Christ. The center is, it's not about me. I find a lot of marriages that are kind of tippy. It's because they say, hey, she is not fulfilling me. And I have to stop her and I say, wait a minute. That's not love. Love is that you want to do everything for her to fulfill everything that she needs. I'll guarantee you, when you do that, she'll fulfill everything you want. But you don't have, you shouldn't worry about yourself. You should be making sure that if you truly love her, you're going to make sure everything is done to the fact that she is going to be satisfied, that she is going to realize that you are her protector. At Christmas time, at Thanksgiving time, we were on the Thanksgiving table, and we used to do this once here and say, "What? I want you to say one thing about the person next to you, which you really, really appreciate." And Marcia said, "He protects me." You know, sometimes she just doesn't come up with words. Sometimes she just cut off the wall stuff, and sometimes she won't even talk. I'll take her for a ride in the car, and I'm always talking to her. I'm wanting her to say something back to me, you know. But she says, "He protects me. If that's all my wife takes from me, then I've done my job." And man, your wife ought to say that. He protects me. I know he's not going to let me get in trouble. I know he's not going to put me in a position that it would be bad. I know he's not going to let me get hurt. Aren't we supposed to be the protectors? Aren't we supposed to be the ones that are to look after and care for her? Absolutely. If you ignore the center, it doesn't matter how expensive the camera may be. I don't care how many accessories you have. How carefully you adjust the light and the shutter speed, you're not going to be happy with the results unless you get the center. When you look through the viewfinder of the camera, you see something else. You see that red rectangle there, or round spot that I have in mind, a viewfinder that says you're including everything. We are having a crazy time now in taking pictures, because there's always people that like to get behind you and make funny faces at you. They call it photo bombing. I never knew it existed until we were at pastor school back in 19 whatever, and that's when Corey was at pastor. That's when Corey was at the college, and I forget who else there. Corey and is it Carla, Corey and Carla, were they at school at the same time? Okay, yeah. And so I'm taking pictures and of my favorite girls in college. And I'm saying, and some idiot behind us going like this. I still have that picture. And I cannot get him out of that. He was the original photobomber, idiot. Beautiful picture of the girls. Terrible picture of that guy. So be careful when you're taking pictures. When your picture is, and back in those days, you know, you say, oh, man, I got great pictures. Bring them home. Take them to Walmart or Walgreens, wherever. And then you got this idiot going. Now we can say, all right, idiot, stay out of there. And then take another one. Amen. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, and happy shall he be. There's no way you can be happy in things that are blurred when you look at them through Jesus Christ. All things work together for good to them that love God, them called according to his purpose. I have God's unconditional guarantee that he will take care of my happiness. I will tell you, I'm as happy as I want to be. You start griping and complaining. And that's kind of contagious. I'll guarantee you who'll catch it the first. Anybody know who will catch it the first? Your kids. You take care of the center and the circumference, he does the rest. Blessed, happy, happy is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his way, for thou shalt eat the labor of thine hand. Happy shalt thou be. Notice the change in pronouns from the generative to the spitting. He talks about now our future. And it shall be well with thee. Who else can guarantee that? Not only am I to be happy, but I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be happy. I'm going to make myself happy. Many times, Mrs. Ortiz and Mrs. Donahue will tell you, many times my wife wakes up crying. Just crying. It bothers me. Just bothers me. She cries. And if Sherry's there, Miss Dolly, they start singing. And I start, I'm so happy. I'm sure that if she was in her right mind, she would probably throw something at me. But after a while, she'd start grinning. You know, what are you happy about today? I don't know. But she cries, you know. I don't know why she's crying. But I want to be the contagious happy guy, you know. I want to be happy. It shall be well with thee by only an omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent God can guarantee that. He's the only one who can say, it shall be well with thee. Hey, there are some things that have happened in your life and you thought you'd never get through it. How many have ever been to one of those times in your life? Never thought I'd ever get through it. But you did. You're still here. Only God. Praise his name, so he does. Adam and Eve were happy in the garden. God had blessed them and he'd given them a glorious place to live. He had given them himself and each other to love. And he had given them a congenial sphere where they could labor. Beautiful garden. They had all things richly to enjoy. Can you imagine? Boy, you'd love to have been there. All the gardens and everything, amen? He was the center of their life. His will was the circumference of their life. In the cool of the day, he came down to visit them, and the whole world was before them. They were the monarch or the ruler. All they surveyed within the compass was his. There is no sin. There is no sorrow. There is no sickness, no suffering, no shame, no strife, not even a shadow of sadness. Adam and Eve were delightfully delirious happy. There was joy unspeakable and full of glory until they lost the center and violated their circumference. Into the scene of pristine happiness came this one called Satan, the great spoiler of happiness. He offered to make them happier. He offered them a life without limits, offered a broader view, and emancipates them from the restriction imposed by that God. He assured them that they could do their own thing and find fulfillment and achievement in godlike independence. What was that? That was a big lie, wasn't it? Satan, the great spoiler, desperately unhappy himself, he takes a sardonic satisfaction in making others unhappy. Adam and Eve listen to that old lie, and from them stemmed all the happiness of the human race, and your problems today are because of that. God, however, offers a guarantee for the future. It shall be well with thee. Not right now. Maybe not today, but it shall be well with thee. God, however, offers a guarantee for the future. He says there will be bliss beyond anything that you can imagine in this old sin-spoiled world. Who else can make such an offer? Aren't you glad? This world is not my home. Just passing through. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for these dear people. Lord, help us to stay in the center and stay in the fence. Lord, we'd find happiness and joy. Oh God, help us to be very careful when we try to step out of it. Lord, bless this time. Now, Lord, give us a safe week, the rest of the week. Bring us back and Saturday out soul winning and bus calling and for Sunday services. Lord, bless those that are in great need. Help them, encourage them tonight. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, you're dismissed.